From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we bring you another episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is the renowned patristic scholar and professor of philosophy, Jean-Claude Larcher, author of The Theology of Illness. Now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged, a podcast that is committed to bringing the most inspirational, informative, and interesting people on the planet directly to you. And today is no exception. I want to talk today to someone that I met in Crete, but I knew about long before I met him. And the reason I knew about him is that when I went to Aegina, which is an island off the coast of Athens, Greece, I was suffering from jet lag. And so my wife and I were up late in the middle of the night, and we're both reading our own books. And she kept saying, "Hank, you got to listen to this. Hank, you got to listen to this." And she would quote from this book, and the title of the book was The Theology of Illness. Well, I didn't read the book until I met Professor Jean-Claude Larcher in Crete. He gave me a copy of his book there. I read the book, and I thought immediately, this is a book that everyone in our audience needs to read. And by the way, if you want a copy, you can have a copy for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Simply check it out on the web at equip.org. Or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I think this book is so relevant to everyone listening in because everyone struggles with sickness. All we are trying to do is postpone death. But we have the seeds of our own destruction within us. We're all going to die. And this is particularly relevant to me because on April 15th, 2017, I was diagnosed with an incurable disease, mantle cell lymphoma. And so often as I've prayed about my disease, I've wondered why God has not healed me. Miraculously, certainly He can. But in reading the book, The Theology of Illness, I got insights to my own illness that I have never had before. So I think this is a book that is relevant to everyone listening to my voice. It is a book that is easily accessible because it is divided into three main sections: the origin of illness, the spiritual meaning of illness, and paths towards healing from a Christian perspective. My guest today, Professor Jean-Claude Larcher, is an Orthodox theologian, and he holds doctorates in humanities, theology, and philosophy from the University of Strasbourg. He is one of the foremost contemporary patristic scholars studying the relevance of the fathers to questions of health, sickness, and healing. And it has been said of him that he is one of the very few authors of our time who is able seamlessly to combine rigorous scholarship with a vibrant sense of the inner life of the church. Again, his book, The Theology of Illness. Professor Larcher, it is a delight to have you on the Hank Unplugged podcast.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. So I want to ask you a question. It's a very, very provocative question, and it stunned me when I read this in your book. How is it that people today have fewer resources than their ancestors did to deal with the entire problem of illness?
You know, Hank, since the Renaissance, we promoted naturalism in our areas in the Western countries. Nature has been more and more disconnected from God until it appears as something autonomous, purely physical. And as a result, the problems posed by illness appeared as having purely physical solutions. In traditional societies, including the Christian world, illness was conceived as having this physical dimension, but also, in any case, a spiritual dimension. In a way, Western civilization has developed in 19th and 20th century sophisticated sciences and techniques, but actually they oversimplify the reality because they have deprived it of its supernatural dimension.
Yes, and I think this is so important because illnesses of the soul are far more serious than illnesses of the body. But in our modern age, as you have pointed out, we reduce the human person to the body, and we make the medical doctor, as a result of that, the new high priest of civilization. And not only that, but the suppression of pain today seems to be the highest value of modern civilization. But that, as you point out, undermines a proper theology of illness.
I do not think it's just the pain problem. As you know, great pain may be associated with mild illness, for example, toothache. And conversely, a very serious illness, such as cancer, may not be accompanied by pain. Pain is indeed a problem, but much more for the modern man, what we call corruption, that is, the gradual destruction of the body, was and is death. Modern civilization maintains the illusion that pain can be suppressed, but also the illusion that eternal youth is possible. She doesn't want to see in the corruption of the body that is manifested in sickness and in old age, and she hides death in every possible way, hiding the existential problems linked to illness. Modern civilization thus prevents the search for spiritual solutions.
Yes, and one of the things you have done in your book is you quote from the fathers. And one of the things I wanted to ask you in this regard is why we have lost touch with the wisdom of the fathers. When I read through your book, I'm so struck by the wisdom of the fathers and how detached we have become from that wisdom in our own epoch of time.
I think it is an evolution of Catholicism and Protestantism. You know, in Protestantism, the Holy Fathers are not known at all because, as told me one time a Lutheran pastor, there is nothing for us between the Holy Scripture and Luther, and it's the same for Calvin, for example, though it's a part of the history of Christianity who was completely forgotten. And in Catholicism, there is another problem, because the Church Fathers were studied a long time, but in the modern times, especially under the influence of Protestantism, they appeared only as ancient writers and were considered from an historic or from a pure literary point of view. And our point of view as Orthodox is quite different because we consider that the Holy Fathers are not the writers of the ancient time who have nothing to tell us in our days, but they are always living in the church. As you know, in our church, that the reason why our church is said to be Catholic, we englobe all the time, not only past and present, but also the future, and all humanity is considered as being present in the body of Christ. And the Holy Fathers are not for us ancient writers or only persons who have been living in time who is now without meaning for us, but they are considered as living persons in the eternal church. And the reason why when we go in our churches, we can see the Holy Fathers painted as in frescoes of the walls, but also through these frescoes and through icons, we can feel their presence and we can enter in communication with them as being living persons, being present for the liturgy with us and with also the angels. It's a whole, and we cannot dissociate all the participants of the body of Christ. There is a very straight association of all the believers in the church. And the reason why when we make theology in the Orthodox Church, we are not making something purely intellectual, theology is not for us something abstract and rational operation, but something very rooted in the experience of the church and including all the believers.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with philosopher Jean-Claude Larcher. In his profound book, The Theology of Illness, Professor Jean-Claude Larcher offers provocative proclamations on suffering and illness, such as, "There is no question that people today have far fewer resources than their ancestors did to deal with illness." Simply put, The Theology of Illness will challenge your understanding of what true health really is. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Welcome back to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In his profound book, The Theology of Illness, Professor Jean-Claude Larcher offers provocative proclamations on suffering and illness. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank and Dr. Jean-Claude Larcher in their conversation.
So, when the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles," the Orthodox position would be that we can commune with those who have gone on before. In other words, because of the resurrection, the wall of separation or the veil between this world and the world to come has become paper thin, so that we can communicate and ask for the prayers of the saints just as we ask for the prayers of the saints that are alive and around us now.
Yes, you know, there is a straight association between past, present, and future, because Christ, as said the apostle, is above time, is including all the times in him. And we cannot make a straight differentiation between the people who were living in the past, people who are going to live in the future, and people living now. And this association is precisely what we name the Catholicity of the Church. It's a globality, it's the new world that the incarnate Logos has created for us, the kingdom of God, in which is something future but also something present.
One of the fathers that you quote, St. Maximus, speaks of the difference in the constitution of the human body before and after the fall. Can you talk us through what the difference?
Yes, St. Maximus was not alone to think that there was such a difference. According to all the Holy Father, at first we can say that before the fall, in the paradisic state, our body was free from sickness, suffering, and corruption. And according to St. Maximus, but also to St. Gregory of Nyssa, it had a mode of existence less material as now, and had not the physical limitations it has now. It was not as limited as now by space, for example, and other surrounding material objects. It is difficult from our fallen state to have a precise idea what was the body in the paradisiac state. But this state is a state the body will recover after resurrection. And thus we can have an approaching idea through what the Holy Scriptures tells us about the resurrected Christ. His body is able to go quickly from a place to another one. See, for example, the history of his meeting with the pilgrims of Emmaus. Or is able to enter a room, the door being closed. See the history of his first meeting with the apostle after his resurrection. So we have some idea of body, which is for each person, the body he has, his personal body, but in a mode of existence in some way different.
You know, one of the illustrations that I've used to explain this, and I want to get your perspective on this, is the illustration of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. So when the caterpillar dissolves into a mysterious molecular mixture in the chrysalis, and then out of that emerges a butterfly, the caterpillar and the butterfly are the same physically, but they're different organizationally. Is that somewhat of an analogy for what you're talking about?
Yes, it's a good analogy, I think. We have to put our conception very clearly because, you know, there are false conceptions about the body we have after the resurrection. There were in antiquity, and St. Gregory of Nyssa was a strong opponent to this conception, something which is similar to the actual conception of the Eastern religion concerning the possibility to rebirth in another body, in something different. But it is clear that for the Father, we will have after the resurrection the same body we have now, but in a different state, according to another mode of existence. For example, you give this comparison. I can also give the comparison with water and ice. Ice is water, but in another mode of existence. Solid and liquid are two modes of existence of the same substance. So for the body before the fall or the body after the resurrection, there is also a different mode of existence as the body we have now. But it's very difficult to give details about this state.
What would have happened if Adam and Eve had not sinned? Could they have enjoyed an even more perfect union with God? Could they have become clothed with immortality?
You know, contrary to a common belief in Christianity, man was not created perfect, but relatively perfect. His mission and vocation was to improve by the collaboration of his own effort and the grace given by God in a process that we call deification, at the end of which man had to have a perfect union with God and become God by grace. That is the meaning of deification, to become God by grace. And according to the Holy Fathers, the immortality was given to man by God from the beginning, but he lost that gift because of his sin.
Is there a necessary link between a person's illness and the sins that that person may have committed?
It's very, very, very important, your question. If you precise a necessary link, the answer is clearly no. There is a necessary connection between the illness that afflicts human beings and the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, because their sin had consequences upon their nature, and all men stemming from Adam and Eve share their fallen nature. But according to the Orthodox conception, differing from the conception of St. Augustine and his followers, there is a transmission not of the personal sin and personal guilt of Adam and Eve, but only a transmission of the consequences of their sin. That is a passibility from which comes pain, corruption from which comes illness, and death. In some case, illness comes from personal sin, for example, from gluttony or from sexual perversions. In some other case, a man have to suffer from the sins of their parents, for example, through an inscription in the genes or in the family psychological atmosphere. But in most cases, there is no connection between the illness of a person and his personal sins. We are assured of this by Christ himself. Consider, first of all, the episode of the blind man in John 9. To his disciples' question, "Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should have been born blind?" Jesus replies clearly, "Neither he nor his parents sinned." Then there is the account of the paralytic in Matthew 9 or in Mark 2, Christ first says to him, "Your sins are forgiven," and it is by a second miracle that he heals his paralysis. ordering him to rise, take up your galette and walk. If his infirmity had been the consequence of his sin, it would have been enough for Christ simply to forgive his sins, in order that the man be healed of his bodily illness at the same time as he received healing of his soul, without the need for a second intervention. Another proof there is no necessary connection between illness and personal sin is that young children who are sinless may have very serious illnesses, for example, as cancers. More proof is that saints who have attained spiritual perfection can have serious illnesses. Many saints died of cancers. We have recent examples with St. Pius the Athonite, or of St. Porphyrius, who the last one had at the end of his life five serious illness. So there are many, many considerations that indicate that there is no necessary link between personal sin and illness. But such a link is possible in some cases.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Professor Jean-Claude Larcher in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you Professor Jean-Claude Larcher's book, The Theology of Illness. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think." And many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.